Well, continuing our interviews from the recent Governor's Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board meeting, we have back with us on the program Advisory Board member Jennifer McKay, who is the Policy Director for the TIP of the Mitt Watershed Council. Jennifer, when we talked before, it was about the biota work plan that Enbridge had to submit to the EPA as part of the settlement on the Kalamazoo River. You had some real questions about holiday areas and other things in that report. Enbridge gave a presentation earlier about the report and tried to explain some of this. First of all, remind our listeners what these holiday areas are, and then the second part of that question, were you satisfied with what you heard today?
The holidays are identified in the work plan as areas around the pipe that are missing coating. Now, Enbridge today gave a different definition of holiday, which essentially means an area of the pipe where there is no coating, so bare steel. So this is something to note, is they gave a different definition today. And the answer to your second question is no, I'm not satisfied with what they put forth today. What I got was, we need to do a lot more work. We have ourselves questions that are not yet answered, such as, what's the extent of coating loss? Is it this outer layer? Is there an inner layer? The coal tar enamel? What caused it? How can it be prevented? And then what are they going to do about it?
I think to clarify for our listeners, by biota, we're talking about things like zebra mussels and other critters that reside in our Great Lakes.
Correct. Zebra mussels, quagga mussels, a lot of the filamentous algae, typical of what you see along hard substrates in the Great Lakes and our inland waterways.
I mentioned our family has a place in Sutton's Bay. There are a lot of zebra mussels up there. I know what zebra mussels can do to boats. I know what they can do to water pipe intake things. It's conceivable that they could do similar things to a laminated coating.
It's possible, and that's part of the reason why Enbridge is required to do this biota investigation, is to determine if, in fact, those mussels or the algae or any of the other species down there are impacting the integrity of the pipeline.
The spokesperson today talked a little bit about the process they're going to go through to do further research on this. But it was much more detailed, as you know, in the report. And I thank you for drawing that report to my attention because I read it. Are you satisfied with the steps they're taking from a scientific standpoint to answer the question, the remaining questions that you may have?
That's a good question. So the biota investigation work plan, I was satisfied with the work plan to investigate the impacts of the biota. Of course, we now have this issue of potential coating or fiberglass wrap loss, and I think now that needs more work. The fact that they only plan on sampling a select number of the areas they identified in the biota work plan is concerning, and I think they should do a thorough investigation to figure out what is going on with the coating on the Line 5.
We had Valerie Brainer on at the top of the show, and she talked about ongoing requests for more data, for more information from Enbridge. This would certainly be cause for asking for more data.
I would absolutely expect and hope that the state of Michigan would request Enbridge to do a more thorough analysis of the coating system on that pipeline as a result.
Moving away from the coating issue, during the public comment today, and I'm asking all my guests to respond to the public comment, but there were a couple of areas that were raised that I thought were fairly significant. One was easement violations of a 1953 agreement when that pipeline went in. Your take on easement violations, have there been easement violations, or do they need to be researched, or what is the status of that particular point of view?
Well, there have historically been easement violations, most notably the support structures and the fact that we've had unsupported spans of the pipeline greater than 75 feet, which is a requirement in the easement. As far as the other easement violations that are alleged by Flow and Oil Don't Water and Oil and Water Don't Mix, I think the state has gone back and reviewed it, but also said they're waiting for the additional information from Enbridge and from some of these studies to determine if, in fact, there is a legitimate violation or not.
The other that kind of came out, and I think it was voiced first by a representative from the Sierra Club, but this conflict of interest or alleged conflict of interest between the two organizations that are doing the research on the reports that are coming out at the end of June and previous connections with Enbridge. You're on the task force. The task force to approve these two entities to do the research. Your response to that?
Unfortunately, the caliber of consultants available to do the kind of work we're asking for is a very small number of entities. And if you look at the proposals that the state received for doing this work, almost all of them had some sort of prior engagement work relationship with Enbridge. Just it's a small field, and unfortunately you can't get away from that. And that's subsequently why the state of Michigan is trying to act as that third in-between party to hopefully separate the direct consultants from Enbridge and to be the go-between to make sure it remains impartial and independent.
One member of your task force, a person I happen to know from other experiences, but Captain Kalinske of the state police asked some pretty penetrating questions and made some comments, as you did during the meeting today. It looks to me like the state police wants to be involved or engaged in any kind of testing or further research that Enbridge is going to do on Line 5 or any other line.
I thought everything that Captain Kalinske had to say was great, spot on. And I think, you know, as the Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management for the state of Michigan, they should be involved because ultimately they're going to be called in if something happens.
I'm talking to Jennifer McKay. She is the member of the Pipeline Advisory Board. She's also the director of the Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council. Jennifer, between now, there's another meeting coming up in June, then the reports come out at the end of June. That's the timeline. What are you folks at the Tip of the Mitt going to be doing between now and then to, position yourself for when these reports come out?
Well, in respect to preparation for the next Pipeline Safety Advisory Board meeting, I'm helping to hopefully get the meeting up north, where obviously a lot of this effort has been concentrated on, because there's a lot of people that couldn't take the day off work to come down to Lansing today and provide their voice, and we want to make sure all the voices in Michigan are heard. So I'll work with them on that. I'll also be following up with the state, with Enbridge, on the BIOTA investigation work plan, sort of what they put forth as their information they gave today. And then we'll also be prepping to do education and outreach to help the public get the information that they'll need to provide substantive, thorough comments that will be beneficial and improve the work of the draft reports.
And we did ask Valerie, too, to comment on the new website that's going active as well, where people can actually make comments online. So we've got that in an earlier segment. My last question that I've asked everybody today, because it affected Russ and myself as well, the public comment period. A lot of very impassioned people, a lot of people who care deeply about the Great Lakes and about this issue. Your take home from these public comment periods?
I think the public has made their voice very loud and very clear. And we at the advisory board are working through our legal process that we have to try and make sure we get all of their concerns addressed, all the questions answered, and provide a recommendation for the state of Michigan to move forward with the future of Line 5.
Well, again, we look forward to following this story in the days and weeks and months ahead. When that report comes out, or the dual reports come out at the end of June, maybe we can get you back on, get your comments and reactions to that. That's going to be one of the most anticipated reports coming out of a couple of private consultants in Michigan.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
My guest has been Jennifer McKay, Policy Director for Tip of the Mitt Watershed Council and a member of the Michigan Pipeline Safety Advisory Board. Jennifer, thanks for being with us after 3 or 4 hours of meetings. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.